This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're with me, Roshan Kunnison, Lynn Mark and Noel Lim. In about half an hour, we'll be talking about China's Sinovac vaccine with Emeritus Professor P.T. Thomas from the Faculty of Health and Medical Sciences at Taylor's University. We've got a poll running on Twitter right now. What's your main concern about the COVID-19 vaccines?
66 votes so far. 47% have said that their main concern is delays in rollout. 16% have said unclear efficiency data. 36% possible side effects. Do continue to let us know what you think, because we're going to be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout this next few hours.
But in the meantime, let's talk about the legal industry. Following the re-implementation of the Movement Control Order to curb the spread of the COVID-19 virus, the Federal Court Chief Registrar's Office released a statement saying that all trials and hearings of criminal cases in open court initially scheduled between 13th and 26th January are to be postponed. Additionally, proceedings and case management for criminal cases at all levels of court will be held via video conferences and emails.
Yeah, so it also said that the trial or hearing of civil cases across the country will also be held using communication technology with a 30% limit for essential workers to operate in their offices. Is the legal industry coping well with this new round of MCO, or is there confusion with regards to the SOPs?
Well, to get a perspective on this, we speak to Salim Bashir, president of the Malaysian Bar. Salim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I guess we'll start off with the base question here is, how has the MCO affected law firms and the industry overall?
Good morning and thank you. Yes, as far as the MCO are concerned, the second MCO concerns, okay, it have actually watered down compared to the effect that we had in the MCO1. I categorize it as MCO1 back in March. And no doubt, MCO1 affected the legal industry financially and psychologically. But during the early stage of the MCO1, law firms were not allowed to operate as legal services, as legal services back then were not considered as essential services. Our law firm had faced a reduction in income and disruptions in normal operations. Many law firms were reported having to downsize or merge their law firms in order to reduce the overall cost of our operations. Our members have to deal with the mental stress, anxiety back then during the economic downturn. But with regards to the MCO2 that is currently ongoing, the Bar Council appreciates that law firms are considered now as part of the essential economic sectors by MITI, and hence allowed to operate during this MCO with strong adherence to standard operating procedure. And there are also operating guidelines which was issued for the relevant authorities.
Now, Salim, just following up on that, right? With civil and criminal cases essentially being postponed for now, how does this affect businesses and people on the ground, right? Could you give us some context and color there?
Okay. The effects are manifold. As I mentioned earlier as well, the legal firms are open. There are civil cases, you can do the civil hearings by way of online platforms. But the criminal cases are affected. Criminal trials and hearings in open courts have been vacated and postponed following the directive from the judiciary. From the financial perspective, our members who are criminal law practitioners are suffering from financial losses. There will also a backlog of criminal cases which may cause further strain on our criminal justice system and prison populations. This may also cause a delay in justice to the accused person or the victims. But I believe the courts are working towards overcoming this. I hope so, that the criminal courts can be opened soon. And the judiciary also have taken initiative earlier, much earlier before this, to amend certain laws like Court Adjudicature Act, Subordinate Courts Act and all that, to provide for remote communication technology for both civil and criminal. But at the moment, they're only focusing for civil trials to proceed on an online platform.
Why not do criminal cases on online platforms as well?
Okay, this will be a problem because we are talking about justice. When you're talking about trials to proceed on online technology, we will have a difficulty to actually monitor the witnesses, which was normally produced in for criminal trial cases by the prosecution. So we will have an issue and with that on the independence of the witnesses to give fair evidence to by way of online platform. And also, we will have an issue because some of the accused persons are in detention centers. So they will also have a problem because under the constitutions, the accused person must be able to follow through the proceedings. He must be there to follow through the proceedings. You see? So with them in the detention center, and most of the detention centers also have an issue that, you know, it'd be infected. So they're unable to proceed, unable to come to the court, physical courts. So therefore, and they also do not have much of a facility to provide for to cater for the online platforms for the purpose of a criminal trials. So this is a huge problem for the criminal justice system.
Salim, did the Malaysian Bar find that there was sufficient clarity and time to prepare with regards to the SOPs that have been put in place this time around for the MCO?
As far as the legal profession is concerned, it has an impact, no doubt about that. But as I have related earlier, our law firms are being categorized as essential services. And of course, the government took some time, though, after the announcement of the MCO2 to provide for the SOPs. But the Bar Council have worked closely with the NITI to provide sufficient guidelines for the members, to announce sufficient guidelines provided by the NITI to the members. So at the moment, the law firms are open. Okay, we only have an issue in terms of traveling. There are some discrepancies in respect of certain states of how well they're coping in this time of situation for purpose of traveling from their residential home to the office. But I hope the government can provide the clear guidelines for the purpose of traveling of employees to the law firms. Other than that, I think we are coping well. We are okay with the SOPs.
Just very quickly, the government had passed the COVID-19 bill last December, which aimed help businesses. How effective has this law been in tackling some of your pain points that you might experience?
Okay, under the Temporary Measures Reducing the Impact Coronavirus Disease Act, they call it COVID Act, the inability to perform certain contractual obligations due to the measures under the Prevention of Control Diseases Act 1988, shall not give rise to the other parties exercising their rights under the contract. And any dispute which may arise due to such inability may be settled by mediation. One good thing that came about out of this COVID Act is there was an agreement signed between the Government of Malaysia and the Malaysian Bar at the end of last year for the implementation of the mediation services through a specialized mediation center. The Bar, through its Malaysian Mediation Center, is appointed to provide mediation services with regard to the inability of parties to perform certain contractual or obligations. And we hope the Rakyat can utilize the mediation services provided.
All right, Salim, thank you so much for joining us on the line this morning. That was Salim Bashir, president of the Malaysian Bar, giving us his perspective on some basically breaking down the situation for the legal industry. And essentially, they're going to have to adapt, right? There are certain reasons why criminal cases can't proceed online. There are certain reasons why civil can. And we'll have to wait and see how this plays out in longer term and how quickly before the postponement, before criminal cases can take up again.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, his insight into particularly the constitutional rights of defendants and how they need to actually be able to observe the extent of the trial. And that's the reason why it's a little bit difficult to have these things remotely, even if the technology exists.
And up next, we'll be diving into the political developments in the Middle East with commentator James Dorsey of the Middle East Institute. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.